I'm going to try as much as I can to tell you in as much less time as possible about how we arrived here and give you a reason or two why people like Reem Maged, Hafez Mirazi and myself are not on screen anymore. For this, we'll have to go back about, it's only 63 years that I will try to talk to you about. But before this, let's start from the end, from a few days ago. Actually, the release of someone very prominent in our society in Egypt. His story started on the 16th of August this year when the BBC published this story. It basically says that 26 army officers were sentenced to prison on a charges of conspiring for a military coup. That was a big story, which was broken by the BBC. Later on the 13th of October, Madame Asr, which is a very respectable news website, ran this investigative piece. I have a bit of an experience in investigative journalism for a day or two, and that was a beautiful piece based on hardcore info, very brave, very calculated, and very patriotic at the same time, which is very hard to do in this line of journalism, especially under the circumstances. It basically, who did it got hold of some hard information that the investigation that was done with those officers. He managed also to meet with some of the families for the officers. He did a textbook work. His name is Hussein Behget, who was about a week ago was summoned to the Egyptian intelligence to answer a few questions. Everybody immediately thought that they had to do with that piece, which turned out to be true in the end. But there was an outrage, an outcry for his release, which actually happened a couple of days ago, but left a lot of questions hanging in the air. Why, in the first place, a journalist who merely did his job in an excellent way should be punished, because this is punishment. And why we were not told about exactly what happened, and why the sudden release. This is one of the major problems in our situation now in Egypt, transparency or lack of it for this matter. Hussein, unfortunately, is not alone. We have some disturbing stats about the situation with journalists in Egypt behind bar. This is an official piece of info published by Anhari, which is the Arab Network for Human Rights Information. It includes the names of at least 60 journalists behind bars. Now, some of them, I appreciate, have been convicted in a court of law. Now, I'm not going to talk about that, even though some people are voicing concerns about the very process of justice in Egypt. So I'm going to only focus on those who have been detained without being charged whatsoever. And a whole climate of fear that's been deliberately planted back in Egypt. Oops. Sorry, we have to go back. How do I go back? Ah, there. Okay. We have to go back 63 years ago to try and understand why we're here now. Now, back in 1952, a group called the Free Officers within the Egyptian Army did what they themselves called a movement, an army movement. And it was supported by the people at the time. And we grew up learning that this was a revolution. It was a revolution, of course, in many senses. And the leader was late President Gamal Abdel Nasser, a very charismatic figure who revolutionized a lot of things in Egypt. And, of course, there was this traditional power conflict between the army and the Muslim Brothers, and Gamal Abdel Nasser, of course, took some steps in that. It is very important also, if we want it, but that's another issue, to understand the background of the enmity between the military institution in Egypt and the Islamists represented in the Muslim Brothers. But to give you a bit of an insight about how Nasser viewed people like myself, journalists, people who try to get information out to people, people who believe that our job as journalists actually is not to facilitate the life or to make the life of any authority easier, as most people might think, at least people in power who don't believe in democracy. Those who believe that our job is to facilitate the work, they are totally wrong. Our job is to let the information out, within the law, of course. There are some exceptions in times of wars, and it always happens, even in big democracies. But we're talking about a completely different mentality here. Egypt used to have independent journalism. Egypt was the birthplace of the very first Arab newspaper back in 1828. And it took another jump before the end of that century. And it was the first Arab country to introduce also theater, cinema, radio. And, by the way, they all started independent, all of them, owned by individuals, until something happened before the middle of the 20th century that caught the attention of dictators. Now, a dictator is not an insult. It's just merely a description of someone who wants to run a country in one way or another. So, this is a testimony by one of Gamal Abdel Nasser's colleagues, an officer, a high-ranking officer, a high-ranking member of the Revolutionary Council. His name is Abdel Latif al-Baghdadi. This is in Arabic. I've attempted a translation of it. Basically says, Gamal Abdel Nasser told us about what he mentioned to the journalists in his press conference that evening, the 7th of March, 1954. The most important of what he suggested to them is that they should never forget that the army has now become a major agent of influence on the country's politics, and that they should always bear this in mind. He also discussed with them the issue of the Constituent Assembly, which was to deliberate the new constitution. Journalists themselves suggested the deliberate appointment of some of its members. It was agreed during the press conference that the press will launch a campaign to this effect. Nasser also pointed out to journalists that they must avoid mentioning anything in their newspapers about the rift between Mohammed Naguib, who was actually the father figure of the revolution, and the